Welcome to this week's sermon from Heights Worship Center. We believe God has something for you today. We hope this message encourages and inspires you.
What a day of joy. What a day of rejoicing and celebration. It's so good to be home in the United States for Easter. Of all the things that I miss about life in the United States, Easter is up there. So it's very special to be here with you today. And I just love every single one of you. Heights is so deep in my heart. Of all the places that we travel, U.S., I've told you this before, but this is where I feel the most at home. So I feel like it's like, welcome home. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us this morning. Father, we just completely surrender ourselves to you in these moments. Have your way. Come, Holy Spirit. Would you say that with me? Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Say with me, manifest yourself to me, Jesus. Would you say that one more time? Manifest yourself to me, Jesus. Lord, we want you to have your way this morning. We ask that you would do what only you can do. We just are hungry for you, and we celebrate your resurrection today. In Jesus' name, amen. The message the Lord's put on my heart for this morning is called Hearts That Burn. And you probably recognize that phrase from the Emmaus Road story. The story of Jesus traveling with these forlorn disciples is one of my favorite parts of the whole Easter story. And I just felt the Lord quickening that story to my spirit for today. We have these two men, and they're just dejected. Their body language is looking like this. Because things had been devastating for them. They had this anticipation and this sense of what Jesus was going to do. They had recognized that he was supposed to be the Savior, the Messiah. The Jews always looked for a Messiah to save them. But their conception was that he was going to save them from the Roman oppression. That he was going to be a political savior. And instead of Jesus smashing the Romans had smashed Jesus. And they had watched him die in the most cruel way. They had put their hopes in this idea. And those hopes were smashed and gone. And I feel that there's a parallel to where they were at and where sometimes we are at, because we oftentimes have an expectation of what we think God is going to do for us. We have an idea. We know God is God. We've read the Bible. We know he is in charge of everything, and he's good, loving, and he's my dad, and he has good plans for my life. And then XYZ happens. And we're like, that was not in the plan. And sometimes we are exactly like these two men, just walking along like, I've been blindsided by life. And that's where Jesus saddles up alongside. He was the paraclete. If you're familiar with John's teaching on the Holy Spirit, he said, John, I'm going to send you another paraclete. And in the Greek there, another is me. Jesus is as well. A paraclete means one who comes alongside. One who comes alongside to encourage. And Jesus did that day. He came up along as they're walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus, talking about what has happened and all the disappointment. Jesus shows up, but they didn't recognize him. And there's so many times when life has happened and disappointments have happened, and that is all that we can see. That is all that has our attention. And Jesus is right there. He's right alongside, and we are completely unaware of it. And so Jesus asked them. We're going to read some of it now. This is in Luke 24, in verse 17. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" I love how Jesus asks us questions. Do you think Jesus really knew? I really needed them to provide some information. Usually God asks us questions because he's provoking, he's searching, he's wanting to open up conversation with us, which is what he was doing here. It says they stood still, their faces downcast. There's the body language. So they'd been walking and all of a sudden he stopped. The question was so impactful, they just stopped walking. And they're like, and they say, "Jesus." Oh, no, they didn't say Jesus. They didn't know who he was. Sorry. They said, "Sir, how in the world," paraphrasing, "how do you, are you the only one that doesn't know what's going on? Like, where you been?" Everybody's talking about this. And again, this is sometimes the way that we are pointed towards God in our posture of our hearts. We're like, "God, don't you know what's going on?" And we think that he hasn't been paying attention. That somehow the details slipped through his hands because he was extra busy doing something else. "Don't you know?" And then Jesus, in his masterful way, comes into their world. And he starts to share with them. And he starts to point out to them the scriptures, which they're familiar with. They're good religious Jews. And so he says, "You know, right there where it says this, and then this prophecy right here, all of that was pointing to this." And he's explaining to them how God is in control. How God has remained sovereign through this whole entire process. And they're listening. And later we find out that their hearts began to burn. As they're having this conversation, as they walk, as the Paraclete Jesus, scriptures, he opens a word to them. And as they progress, as they walk, something was happening inside of them. Their spirits had started way down here, and something inside them was starting to lift. And that's what the Paraclete does for us. And my sense today is that the Paraclete, Holy Spirit, is here. The Spirit of Jesus is here in the building. He's here in the room. And he wants to come alongside each one of us. And where there has been areas of disappointment, where we thought it was going to turn out this way, and it went a completely different way, Holy Spirit wants to make our hearts burn. Holy Spirit wants to open our understanding to who he is and his presence all along. Right alongside us. He wants to impress on us how close he is. How present he is. The particular subject I really impressing on me in all of this is the subject of hope. 1 Peter says that we have a living hope. Hope that's alive. That's what belongs to us. And that is the kind of bride that the Holy Spirit is repairing as the end times continue to unfold. What's gonna mark the characteristic of the church more and more is hope. I love how Bethel puts it. They say often, the person in the room with the most hope is the person in the room with the most influence. As God calls us to be light in our nation, a central part of our light that shines, that burns, that radiates in the darkness is hope. It's living hope. That is the basis of our salvation. Jesus raised from the dead gives us hope that is real, hope that is alive, and hope that doesn't fade. It doesn't diminish. It just grows brighter the more you walk with Jesus. Whether it's on the Emmaus Road or whatever road you're on, your hope as you walk with him begins to grow. As you walk with him, as he speaks to you, as he opens your understanding, hope comes back alive. Because their hope had died, right? Because it was hope in the wrong thing. But hope that's biblical hope is not based on an earthly circumstance. It's not based on a certain outcome. It's based in the person of Jesus. And even doing word studies and the word in Greek for hope, it's not anything like our wishful thinking that we sometimes speak in English. I hope so. I've had lots of conversations with people in my pastoral counseling where, you know, God is going to come through for you and speaking a promise from the Bible, and I'm like, so. And that actually is not a real biblical expression of hope. That's more like, well, I wish that that were the case. Biblical hope is not a wistful wishing. It's a powerful force that burns in your heart. When it says their hearts burned, that's what hope does. It burns inside you. Real hope that God has for you and me makes your heart burn. Not heartburn, but the burning of your spirit inside of you with real hope, real life. The real living presence of the resurrected Lord. When you know whose you are, come what may, we were born to be fearless. Fearless people of hope that shine brightly in our generation. World that is dark and only getting darker. And that is also prophesied, right? Darkness will cover the earth. But you, arise, shine. Shine with hope. And they're going to come to your light. As when we get to the end, we're going to have some prayer time together. And I really believe that whoever has come today with a burden of some kind of disappointment, that the Holy Spirit wants to breathe into that area of our lives. Breathe real living hope in the inside of us. That's what he does for us, Paraclete. I want to read that scripture from 1 Peter that I referenced. 1 Peter 1:3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And that's what we're celebrating today, right? The resurrection. And we read how the women showed up at the tomb wanting to visit their dead. Instead, they find a stone rolled away. and some shiny men. Speaking of scary, some very startling shiny men, smiling joyfully. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Go and tell his disciples. And there's another detail that sticks out to me in this chapter, Luke 24. And it's how Jesus particularly met Peter. We all know the story, right? Of Peter's betrayal of Jesus, his denial three times as prophesied, and how crushing that was for him. After all, he had so boldly and confidently proclaimed, "I will die for you." Not so much. Well, he did eventually, but not at that occasion. He was unknowingly speaking prophetically about the end of his life. But here he's just so devastated. And this is another thing that clouds us from perceiving that Jesus is right there is our failures. It says in the same chapter, Luke 24, verse 33 and 34. This was after the Emmaus Road. Then they found the 11 and these with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." The specificness of that. How specific of his 12. They all were devastated. They all were crushed. But he took the initiative to go to Peter, the one who was the most devastated probably, because on top of the grief and the disappointment, he had his own failure, and he appeared personally to him. And again, I really just sense that that is the word for this morning as well, that where each one of us is on our own journeys, if we feel like we have failed him, again and again, if we feel like life has just gone south and it's nothing like we ever thought it would be, Jesus is here. And he has supernatural hope for us. It's not going to come from anything else than his manifest presence. Him coming right up into our space, right up into our bubble and saying, let me talk to you. Let me show myself to you. I love the end of this chapter as well, where he again appears. Now it's to the 12. The disciples gathered. And they're freaking out with joy and not sure whether to believe. Is this a ghost? What is happening here? And Jesus, this is verse 38 to 40. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why did doubts rise in your minds?" First, he acknowledges what we're feeling. "I know, I see you. I see that you're afraid. I see that you're crushed." But what's the answer? He reveals himself. "Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. So before the understanding came the revelation of himself. And really, when we have questions that are assailing our minds, the why, I don't understand. What we most need is Jesus. We need him to come up close and say, touch me. Look, it's me. I'm here. And then he went so far as to give me a piece of fish. I'm going to eat it so you can see I'm a real person. Ghosts don't eat fish. It's me. He even said, Thomas, if you need to, go ahead and stick your hands in my wounds. He came to them. He staged an intervention. He said, okay, you guys are not going to figure this out. Even though I told you this was going to happen, here I am. Here I am. It's me. I have risen just as I said. And at the end of the day, that's what we need every single day, is Jesus to come to us, the Paraclete. The Holy Spirit is Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus. The Greek says he's exactly like Jesus. And he comes and he encourages and he gives us hope. One more thing I want to explain about hope before we have a little prayer time is that hope is intimately connected to our faculty of spiritual sight. We all have two sets of eyes, physical eyes and spiritual eyes. And we need to use our spiritual eyes more. Because when we can really see the way things are, then we can have hope. When those two men stumbling along the path to Emmaus were downcast, they were not seeing, they were not perceiving. But when Jesus stopped with them at their destination and broke the bread, their eyes were opened. And suddenly they recognized him. Can you imagine the astonishment when they realized who that was? And then he disappeared. And they were so excited, even though it was nighttime, they took the 7-mile hike back to Jerusalem immediately to go tell everybody. He is risen. He is risen. But it was the opening of their eyes. And that should be our prayer every day. It's in Ephesians. First chapter of Ephesians. Paul, in he gives the model for us to learn and employ. And let's just go ahead and read that as well. Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going out of order in my notes. I gotta find where I put it. Okay. Starting in verse 16, I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called. The NIV of this, because that's the New Living Translation, says, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. Where it says flooded with hope, flooded with light, that's closer to the Greek to say that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. So this is the prayer. God, I ask for a spirit of revelation that I could know you better. And I ask that the eyes of my heart, my spiritual eyes, would be enlightened so that I could know the hope of my calling. It's supernatural. You don't just come up with hope. You don't just say, oh, I'm going to be more hopeful. Today, gosh darn it, I'm going to be a hopeful person. It's not by trying harder. It's not by any kind of performance you could come up with. It's the Holy Spirit. a spirit of revelation to know him better, to hear his voice, to drink in his sweetness, to touch him. He said, touch me, look at me. That's a spiritual invitation too. Today, Jesus says to you, look at me, touch me. And in that encounter is where hope comes alive. When we need more hope, we need to encounter Jesus, our resurrected Savior. And he reveals himself to us as the resurrected one, the king over every circumstance, the one who conquered death, the one who conquered everything that ever will come against you. He's already conquered it. He reveals himself to you as bigger than the universe and the most tender of tender fathers. And he reveals himself to you as the one who loves you, even if you denied him. Exactly the same amount, and maybe even more if possible. Peter was so transformed by that personal encounter that once he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he's leading the church, thousands to Jesus, the one who so personally met him. Exactly as he needed it when he was the most crushed and devastated. So I want to invite us to stand. Right where you are, just softly, gently hold your hands up to Jesus, whose resurrection we celebrate today. He's in the room. He's in the room. He's right there with you. Look at him with your spiritual eyes. He's smiling at you. He likes you. He's in a great mood. He wants to hang out, have a wonderful celebration party today with you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Paraclete. Thank you. I ask that you would grant in this room a spirit of revelation. You're the one who comes alongside. Come now. Jesus, you said, I won't leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And how often do I think of those words and I say, Jesus, come. You're already here, but come manifest yourself. Philippians says, if there's any comfort in the love of Christ, because there is, there's so much comfort in the love of Christ. And if you need it, reach out. Reach to him and say, come to me. Come to me, Paraclete. Come to me, Comforter. Come to me. Resurrected Lord, breathe living hope into my heart.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Visit us in person or online at hwcim.org.